You have got to respect the bell. Welcome back. Crunch time, final segment on a Wednesday. That means the Crunch Exchange. I'm Alex, he's Steve. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling the prospectus involved with those stories. Also, a pending option.
Pending!
He actually has been using that pretty recently, so how about that? Let us begin with the Ducks. Two big wins that probably should have been bigger. Dakota Prukop, rest of the starters, had to play the entire games because the Ducks' defense let both UC Davis and Virginia hang around close enough to make it necessary. The defense gave up some big runs that the players this week chalked up to being misaligned. And not sure what that means. Could be players giving the wrong calls, players getting the wrong calls. Either is a cause for concern with a trip to Lincoln coming up on Saturday. Away games don't get much bigger than trips to Nebraska, and if Oregon has issues in the run game, going against a team with the line that they do might be the recipe for disaster. Nebraska, a combined 95-27 winners over Fresno State, Wyoming, getting almost 300 yards rushing in the first game, over 400 yards passing in the second. Their offense is humming right now. That said, Oregon's offense humming as well. Last week, they started to get the tempo going. Although Oregon is the only ranked team right now, Nebraska opened as a 3-point favorite this week at home. Usually playing at home gives you around 3 points. So we're basically talking a push. The prospectus. Buy or sell that Nebraska should be the favorite coming into this week.
They're playing better. They're home. Their record wasn't as a perfect indicator of what they were last year, although they did have some bad losses. I just think they're improved year two under a new coach. I think it's completely justified because Oregon has left some questions unanswered. I'm going to purchase that.
Subtext is that rankings are kind of silly at this point in the season. So much made every season about how amazing Oregon's offense is, and that's because it is. Royce Freeman, one of the best backs in the country, arguably the best slate of wideouts in the country this season. That's without freshman phenom Dylan Mitchell, who you remember caught 2 touchdowns in the spring game, because he's likely out for the season with an injury, or so we're told. But right now, it might actually be the Nebraska offense with the better unit. Or at least they're playing a little bit better, maybe. In their 2 games this season, they're averaging 478 yards. Oregon's at 577. That's a lot, by the way. But that said, Oregon has played well against 2 really bad teams, the FCS school and a team in Virginia that might as well be an FCS school. Now, Fresno and Wyoming aren't exactly powerhouses. Tommy Armstrong has thrown for over 500 yards. Running back Divine Ozigbo leads a stable of running backs who are averaging 215 yards on the ground, 7 rushing touchdowns in 2 games. So Oregon's better stats against worse teams. Nebraska, great stats against better teams. The prospectus, Oregon's offense playing the best right now.
Oh, between those two?
Yep.
You know, Nebraska in their opener went run, 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 run. And in their second game, it was more pass, 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 pass. They really haven't revealed themselves. They've shown the potential to have balance. You know, in that first game, Oregon against UC Davis, they only tried Freeman, 11 times? Obviously, he was more of a feature this time. Yeah, I'm going to say B, no, S, P, and go pending.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
To the NFL, the Browns just can't help themselves from being the Browns. They keep trying to make the right moves. Things look to be going well. Then the universe remembers that they're not allowed to be happy or have anything good and takes it away from them. This time, it's RG3 fracturing a bone in his shoulder. Had a decent game against the Eagles. I mean, better than any other quarterback who has played for them in a while. McCown, Manziel, I don't know who else played for them. Harambe, did he play for them? I don't know. But then he goes down, and in the same game, we saw the emergence on the other side of the field in Carson Wentz, who was thrust into the starting role earlier this week when the Eagles traded away Sam Bradford. And Wentz was pretty dynamite. 278 yards, 2 scores, no picks. Not bad for anyone, let alone a guy making his first start in his first game. That has led many to say the Browns, who passed on Wentz in favor of signing RG3, made a mistake. Clearly, hindsight's 20/20, but the prospectus, signing RG3 in favor of drafting Wentz was always a bad move for the Browns.
Here's the problem. If they drafted Wentz, RG3 would be viewed as the next Brady, and Wentz would be in retirement. It's the Browns. They can't get out of their way. But right now, man, that looks like a bad, bad, bad Brownie move, so I'm going to buy that.
By the way, Hugh Jackson said today that the Browns will win a Super Bowl under his watch. So that's a this.
video games or like the one they play the first Sunday in February, because that's a total sell.
Somebody released a Madden video this week of they created LeBron James and put him on the Browns, and he was like unstoppable. That's the only way the Browns are going to win.
Oh, I'm surprised he didn't turn an ankle and miss 15 games.
That's great. The chips seem to be falling in terms of the North Carolina HB2 bill. From the Department of Redundancy Department there. The NBA removed their All-Star game, and this week the NCAA removed a myriad of tournament championship events out there, including the first two rounds of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. So Duke and North Carolina essentially won't get to play home games in those first two rounds anymore. And today the ACC announced they have pulled the conference's football championship game and all neutral site championships out of the state as well. So we're talking about huge events in college athletics. This brings forward the old debate about if a national entity should be entitled to change their rules based on state laws. The NCAA will continue to do a ton of business in Carolina, and their statement this week is that their events are designed to be all-inclusive and that the law essentially goes against that. But should the NCAA affect businesses in Carolina who will lose a ton of money for what is on paper a political issue? Essentially, when the NCAA themselves exploit college kids all the time. So the prospectus, the NCAA and the ACC are justified in pulling their events from North Carolina.
Well, first of all, lawmakers with no evidence, none ever, that people from the LGBT community use bathrooms for anything other than to pee and poo. And as of June of this year, no reports ever of trans people arrested for bathroom misconduct. Check out a GOP rep from Idaho, Larry Craig, Florida's Bob Allen, see what they were up to in bathrooms a few years ago. Good on the NCAA, good on the ACC, good on the NBA. Buy that with every cent I have.
Last night we saw the M's win their first Northwest League title since 1975. I wasn't born yet. Nick really wasn't born yet. And you were a sophomore in high school, I think you said?
Yep.
That's a long time ago. Speaking of a long time ago, the Major League season is winding down. The Dodgers currently lead the NL West by 4 games over the Giants, actually, I think, about to move to 5 today. Their big storyline towards the end of the year, other than Vin Scully hanging up his headset, is the status of Yasiel Puig. First they demoted him, then they tried to trade him, then they called him back up, and now he's out there raking again. 8 games back, 3 home runs, 6 RBI, hitting .391. A far reach from the guy they sent down, who was a large ball of struggle, essentially. Reports today say when the Dodgers were shopping Puig, they were about 20 minutes away from finalizing a deal that would have sent him to Milwaukee for Ryan Braun, who, HGH aside, has 27 bombs, 82 RBI, hitting .309, playing in the entire season this year. He can still hit and will provide a lot of value right now for LA. Apparently, according to reports today, both teams aren't opposed to still making that deal happen in the winter. Braun, by the way, 32 years old, Puig, 24. The prospectus, you buy or sell the Dodgers should even think about making this deal.
I'll tell you what, I'm a great believer if you can win now, do it. So I think it would have been a wise move this year to upgrade. But as far as next year, when they could make moves, get a younger guy, free agency, I'm going to go pending on that one.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
Look at you. You're just using pending the pending liberally the last few weeks.
All right, yeah.